I'm Susan Barrett.
And I'm Todd Thomas. At Barrett Barrera Projects, we believe that art is a verb.
It's the ongoing process of deconstructing and reconstructing our world.
This season, we'll delve deep into the creative process of some of our most inspiring friends and collaborators to understand how they're navigating this pivotal moment and working to transform our existing systems, reimagine the status quo, and support each other across disciplines in order to create a more sustainable and equitable future for us all.
Welcome to Art as a Verb, a Barrett Barrera project. In this episode, we are venturing into the spirit of the depths with our friend, actor and writer and potter, Parker Posey, Indian art house darling from films like Party Girl, Dazed and Confused, and most recently, the Netflix series she stars in, Lost in Space.
Parker is also the author of her New York Times best-selling book, You're on an Airplane, a self-mythologized autobiography.
We caught up with Parker while she was holed up in Austin, Texas, to discuss courage, survival, and the true resonance of art.
Parker, welcome to Art as a Verb. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
It's really funny to be participating in this podcast because I've just really bemoaned my inaudible life for the past few years, the way that things have just become, we're communicating with the barest minimum of words texted and no punctuation. So it's good to be actually speaking to you.
Do you remember that time we went to Peace Food, which is this vegetarian restaurant in New York, and there was this waitress, a plate of cauliflower went by us, and I was like, oh, that looks kind of good. I'm going to ask her about the cauliflower. And I said, can you tell me about the cauliflower? And she said, well, it's like broccoli, but it's a white vegetable. And we thought, wow, we are in trouble. We are really, remember in the beginning of the quarantine when they were calling it, or at least my friends were saying, this is an awakening. I continue to walk around believing that and knowing that on a deep level that we're all here to evolve collectively together. Not everyone is equal, but we have equal rights. So this pause has been, there's been a lot of grief, right? So I can't be in New York City right now, a city that I love. So I'm here in Austin. Rick Linklater asked me to host the Texas Film Awards, and the Austin Film Society was like an anniversary, like the 30th for the Film Society and the 25th for the Texas Film Awards. And I've been telling him no for like 20 years. You know, he directed Dazed and Confused. I'm like, no, I can't do it. But finally, I was like, you know what? This is a good time. I'd love to come down here and help my family. My favorite Aunt Skippy, my hippie Aunt Skippy, lives over on Keasby Street, and she has dementia, but she's doing great. And the house that I'm staying in now, we call 305. So I've been helping them organize and landscape and move the work shed, tools, all of the stuff over there. I've been in production. I've been in this kind of space of helping and just feeling like I have a really deep purpose here. You know, this is like time travel. I got the time wrong on this. Like, I'm sure I read the email and saw that it was 12 o'clock your time and 11 o'clock mine, but I have no sense of time right now.
Same here.
How many times am I going to think today is Tuesday or Monday?
Right.
There was a week, like a month or so ago, that everyone thought it was Thursday until Thursday came. And I feel like when we have to make sense of times that are hard, we have to see what brought us here and we see our resilience.
I agree.
I feel like ever since writing the book or having to sell my apartment, I ran out of money. I wanted to keep the country house and I had to reinvent. I borrowed from my dad and I never wanted to borrow money from him. I'm like, I can do this myself. I knew he was really proud of me for being able to make it out on my own. And so I hunkered down. I was in a creative exile for a while and wrote a book or book proposal and then got lost in space and was gone for 6 months twice. We shot the last season like a year ago, last November. And my father passed away during that time. So I have a grief, beautiful grief story of that, of getting to see him. And then, my dog Gracie passed like 7 months ago. And so it's, I feel like my heart just keeps opening, you know, when I think of New York City right now. I'm just like, a part of me is praying all the time and magical thinking things, reading, you know, seeing an article and making up. Did that say we're struggling alone together or, yeah, I'm just making stuff up. I know that grief is kind of like a dementia, which is really interesting being in this. And it's very surreal. I've had some really surreal moments. Anyway, I'm rambling because I haven't wanted to really talk in this way as like a public person because I want to honor this time. So part of being over on Keysby and just going back, I think, to, you know, my American Indian roots and what made the country house so important for me to keep is just like being in the dirt, being able to have a dialogue inside myself with the birds that are flying around, with the hard work of finding things, with digging, with just being in nature, because it's there's a lot of suffering on the path of being an artist and living authentically. I think, you know, that's hard. That has its own challenges, I should say. But I feel like I'm 8 years old, and sometimes I feel like a really old lady rocking on the porch in a rocking chair and waving to the neighbors who pass by. People are walking outside their homes. They're talking to each other. They're waving to each other. And that's been really lovely to see. And I'm excited. I wasn't like one of the ones like, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to get my hair done. What am I going to do? I was like, oh, let's grow the hair out. Let's play in the yard. I found a lot of different totems around, different sticks shaped like snakes and giving gifts that are made. And I climbed a ladder and cleaned a gutter. I listened to Bob Dylan and his latest album a few days ago, just to honor what this time is right now, which I think it has to do with your, you know, heart courage.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful. I mean, it's powerful to have sat in your home or your location or wherever you are holed up for 3 months and just witnessed these groundbreaking experiences happening in front of us. And it's uncomprehendable to the full level, really. So
I mean, don't you feel like also they're like, it's happy tears, you know, there's
totally
so agonizing, but also so brilliant at the same time.
Right. I mean, I think that when the protests started happening, that was a moment where that was a relief in some really happy way, even though it's from a place of really immense pain to witness that. I was sitting on my bed watching television, watching the news, like New York won live. Yeah. There's a protest going on. I'm like, wait a minute. It's right outside my door. Why am I sitting on my fucking couch? I'm like going outside to witness this. And I did. And that first time, and it was just a wave of emotion to just see, you know, just it was a collective response, it was a collective relief, it was bigger picture, and it was feeling like that there was definitely a connection after being so isolated for so long.
Yeah, I was talking to my friend Tanya, one of my Tanya friends, and she's been in Europe this whole time.
Who was it you were talking to, Parker?
Tanya Gallo, my friend Tanya Gallo, who grew up in Manhattan and does urban planning for cities. And she's been a friend since I was like 15. I met her at North Carolina School of the Arts when I was 15 years old. And we've been close ever since. Anyway, she and her husband, Andy, were planning their wedding, but they were stuck outside of Nice. I was talking to her on the phone and I was like, you know, there's such shame over, you know, before the protests were starting with what was going on and realizing that nothing had changed, you know, since the LA riots, and just this kind of shame and disappointment. And at the same time, you know, this can't be this country. You know, I'm from the South, I'm from the deep South, and I had to move to New York. This isn't right to judge people in this way. And so it's very liberating for New Yorkers and all of us who escaped to live in the story of, I mean, New York City is a miracle. I can't believe it can even exist. I love it so much. I've had erotic dreams about Cuomo. I'm sure everybody has. And It's just giving me this, like, I just feel like I'm hugging it all the time.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing place to be right now, for sure. I feel it's certainly a reconnection to why I came here, which is to see things like what is happening. It brings me back to, you know, why I came here and to pursue a path in work and realizing a fuller vision of my life and connect with all of the people that seemed to be inspiring and important for me to connect with to do that. And that's one thing that we're trying to understand in this series is who our intersectors and our supporters are in the way that we make our work and our creative lives and live our lives more fully.
It's happening now. This is a little baby step. The thoughtful Hollywood squares of Zoom.
Exactly.
I wanted to ask you, Parker, you said that art is the medicine the monster producers while trying to survive the labyrinth. What are those medicines that you are taking now and have taken in the past? I love that metaphor.
I think, you know, as actors and storytellers and certainly New Yorkers, we walk out the door and you don't know where you're going when you go for a walk. It's a big reason why I live in this city. Of course, I don't have a 9-to-5 job, but even those who do, there's something about finding the thing that you didn't know you were looking for until you see it. And there's something of a dialogue from the inside of your own psyche to the outside of, you know, the New Yorkers who are everywhere around you. I think the medicine will always be joy and love. It'll always be getting lost in order to be found, being thrown, to be caught. And there's something of like, I think acting can be so scary because you're just giving yourself to the moment, especially like the Christopher Guest movies, you know, where they're all improvised. It's like, sometimes it's so, you know, where is all this going to come from? And I could run to the top of the house and I can jump off and be caught in like the fabric of a story, of a film, of, you know, whatever it is, and the other actors are there and the director's there. And I think it's a really good metaphor for now when you were talking about earlier of bemoaning the loss of words. It's like, it takes a lot of courage. It's not so much a courageous thing, I think, to be so powerful. And so, you know, like beating up each other is not courageous. Calling each other names, it's not courageous. It's the understanding and the compassion of, you know, where people are come from in order to forgive.
I think that your work, too, has also been a medicine for many people. I mean, I know that people really love you. And I've seen that as your friend, just, you know, walking around, like people just really express this gratitude towards you and like the work that you've done, which is like added to the experience of people's lives. And I'm just wondering how that is with like the people that you work with, that you encounter, like how your kind of tribes of people that you make your work with, you know, the directors that you've worked with, how they've influenced or coaxed you or caught you.
I'm a big Joseph Campbell fan and Emerson, you know, to be true to yourself and be yourself. And that can be like a scary thing because it's alone. You're alone inside your skin.
Well, it kind of seems like also in what you do, people are really kind of confused by being yourself. I mean, in the experiences that you have, it's like Hollywood doesn't really want you to be yourself or one's self, truly. And I think you're a great example of self-realization and reliance on building your own community.
Oh, but Todd, I mean, you have felt like that too. I mean, I've felt like an outsider since I was 5 years old, whether it's the abandonment of my dad going to Vietnam till the age of 3 and my mother being a young mother and having to walk alone in the neighborhood. You know, I knocked on a neighbor's door when I was 4 years old, naked, having just gotten out of the bathtub. You know, I still think I'm doing that.
Mm-hmm. To a certain degree, maybe you are, you know? Also, I think that your life is action. I mean, I think you are about action. And I think that, Susan, you can talk about your concept of action with art. Mm-hmm. And like art as a verb is an action and how that's something that we use in our connection and in our intersections with others too.
So basically we think that art is a verb because it's not the end product. But it's that process and it's that battle, that individual battle that we all go through. And we have to go through it alone, but yet it's so collective. And it's such a shared experience that there's even words for it. You know, Malcolm Gladwell calls it flow, the flow of the work. And it's something that you can only do by yourself. And you have to go through that darkness and you have to have those hard questions, which then has the result. But the result is nothing compared to that richness. And we've all been talking about this quarantine and how maybe that is that individual battle collectively that we're asked to go through.
The dark night of the soul. There's this show that I've been watching called Alone, and I've watched it on Hulu. It's on the History Channel. There's survivalists that are trapped in this, you know, in Antarctica and Patagonia by themselves with cameras, and they film themselves. I just love, I've never seen people like this. I would never do something like that. Of course, I love camping. I say I love camping. I haven't done it in like 25 years, but that these people, the way that they can survive, I think it's also a community that's amazing, like the naturalists, like we want to discover new territory. And so the show anyway, like they eat mice, they survive on these twigs. There's some of them are botanists and some of them are just there to have this experience to push themselves and to get to know themselves and to give to their families. They win like $500,000 and they're in the dark night of the soul too. So over on Keysby, you know, I'm always looking for these narratives to like bring into my life, to make my life active.
Uh-huh.
Like you're saying, like art is a verb. It is about your lifestyle and how you approach everybody around. Mm-hmm. And I've been so touched by like over at Aunt Skippy's, her neighbors, Rachel and Melissa, they had a baby girl. They named Moxie, put a hammock in their yard. And it's just like, I got the best root canal I've ever had in my life. I'm like, there are miracles everywhere. I can't wait to go to the dentist again. You know, things are changing now.
Isn't it interesting that you're talking about like naturalists and we're talking about the external experiences, which is where we've been stuck before this. Now we're going into internal landscapes and dreamscapes where time and space is sort of confusing. And this is a very difficult space for most of us to be in. I mean, some of us like it. I enjoy it, but that's a different story.
You're used to it, right?
Well, personally, I am. But this is a time to sort of be the architect and the urban landscaper for these internal sort of non-dimensional spaces. So how does that resonate with you as an artist? How do you navigate those scapes?
You know, it's inspiring to me. I haven't sat down to write. I feel like I'm very much in the labyrinth. I am in the Plutonian labyrinth. And I think a lot of artists are right now being lost and just finding our way. We were sitting out on the front porch at night. You know, there's a little fire pit and they're just doing lots of talking in my family and some neighbors. We have more space in the conversations to just kind of be. And Austin is a lot more laid back than New York. So my cousin's husband, John, was going like, look at that guy over there across the street. And it's this house. And when we looked at him, he looked like he was talking to himself in the window of the house in his own reflection. It was the most surreal thing. And we all just stood up and we just watched him do this. Until we realized there was a woman hiding behind the column. But we're like, is this what it's come to? People are standing outside their homes, talking to themselves in their own reflections and windows. There's something so surreal and fantastic in this way and new. But that we all kind of thought that he was doing that is insane.
Perceptions.
Yeah, these perceptions. So just kind of being aware of the opening of the depth of the individual and that they could be, well, I've done that. I have stared through a window of the house, just like kind of talking. I wouldn't do it outside in my front yard, but.
Parker, your book, You're on an Airplane, which is a national bestseller, is like full of all of these observations, like what you speak about free form and what you have experienced deeply, what you've experienced observationally. Is there more of like your own writing and your own content that you're thinking about in your future work? And also, there's this documentary, The Bookseller. What's that about?
The filmmakers got in touch with me like a year ago, and I'm so happy to be attached to it. I enjoy plays, but I miss a certain kind of writing that I would love to watch on a screen. A lot of plays are written with the producer saying what it must be, and it can be like a propaganda in a way. There has to be new forms made with actors and playwrights and something like what Playhouse 90 was in the 50s. There's this thing called slow TV. I had this idea for a slow TV type channel like 7 or 8 years ago. I do a lot of readings for selected shorts, and I think there's a way to bridge literature and actors and acting into almost a VR type of slow TV storytelling reading. I think there's an art to that, to this, you know, naturalism. And I miss that. Like, I love that kind of acting. And who doesn't like to be read to?
Right.
You know, the healing art, creating something that you could play in a hospital, almost like a really long, you know, like the Calm app where they have like sounds of nature, things like that. There's a preciousness that I feel that has been lost, and an empathy that it can only be found with words and understanding them and putting, you know, emotion behind them. People can see these heroes go out on a journey and find their way and beat the dragons. Carl Jung said that we either live in the spirit of time or the spirit of the depths. And we're so much about time right now. Anyway, that's where I get inspired. I'm going to go back to those ideas again, because there was a slow TV in Norway that came at the same idea. So I know it's a good idea. I think these kinds of actions help us open up the depths of our own, because I do believe that we lean towards lightness.
Yeah.
I have to believe that, or you're just going to go insane.
Right.
And New York City has been so hard.
Yeah.
These last 20 years. I'm so excited for it to recalibrate to being inclusive and not so much about money, you know? I'm dying.
You know, about showbiz and that whole aspect of your work, you lend your name to things that you endorse, like the Bookseller Project. But I've also witnessed you really take the piss out of your own fame. And like, you really check that and you defer everything to your life. I mean, I recall you, when you ask for a check, you'll be like, is this my celebrity discount? How is that defining yourself in an industry where that's not always possible? And what about the industry now in the light of Black Lives Matter and Me Too? And is there really going to be a change? You've experienced the difficulty in being a woman and being kooky or being undefinable. I mean, do you think that there will be change within your industry?
I think there are things to be built and made. Why can't these big advertisers? I'm like, can I pitch to Nestle Toll House cookies for slow TV, and we can eat a cookie and sit by a fire and you can hear the fireplace? And I'm really into reaching like the child and the elderly and just including like everybody. Don't audiences want to see their actors, these, you know, Val Kilmer, Nicolas Cage, you know, I'm thinking of these creative actors that want to produce from a certain place outside the system. There has to be. I know it has to change. Our material has to change. Our narrative is not going to be the same narrative after this. And I'm really tired of the news narrative, because now I've seen how it affects friendships. I've seen how it affects conversations. And it's like, enough. Let's start over.
Yeah.
I'll go back to what I said earlier. Like, I've always felt like an outsider. I've always felt like there's a cosmic joke in this, you know, and that's my father, that's my dad. That's how my dad shaped me. That's how his father shaped him to a certain extent. So it's like, you know, you get to a certain age and you go like, that's not me. It's not like an affront to anyone. It's just like, I'm independent even from being an actress.
Yeah.
you know, like, oh, do I really want to work and drown and get lost and have to reinvent itself again?
You know, I mean, honestly, as much as it's like a broken record and you hear it all the time, to me, truly, Parker, indie queen really is your title, because you're just like, you're independent of definition of your industry, of your fame. And that's something that I think is inspiring.
There's a huge strength in that. I mean, there's a huge strength in watching you. And I will say, confession, this was the only podcast so far that Todd brought me to where I was intimidated to like talk to you because of the strength of your characters. And the characters that resonate the most with me are those really strong, bitchy girls, which I know so many of. And it's like, does that sort of shape or protect some of the vulnerabilities, you know, inside? Like, clearly you're so open and you're asked to sort of absorb so much, especially right now. So how does that hard character kind of...
It's the shadow side of my mother. It's the shadow side of my grandmother, both of them. My dad's mom died of a broken heart. She took everyone in to her suffering. She was a powerful storyteller.
Yeah.
My mother's mother was a glamorous, like, queen and very inventive in her manipulations and her way to change herself all the time. And the South, too. I mean, it, you know, there's a presentation of, you know, the steel magnolia. Like, some women can have this veneer, but underneath, there's this real strength. I love playing powerful women. It's about the heart still, though, for me, is that how was someone broken? Mm-hmm. Where is their wound? And in that is the gift. That's like the acorn. Does this person have a heart? Ooh, can I play someone who doesn't know they have a heart? What does that look like? And I get really excited about, I remember I was working on this independent movie called Price Check. I went to this acting coach, Harold Guskin, and I wanted him to read it. And I just like to get his opinion. And I was like, I just want to know, where's her heart? And he's like, there is none. Just a real see you next Tuesday. And we see these women, and I'm fascinated by those women that are like that patriarchal woman. Because she's a woman doesn't mean she's like a feminist and a great mother and all this stuff. The patriarchy and the so-called power of women, it can be very patriarchal and not female. So I like playing those characters. And I have black hair and a widow's peak. You know, it works for me.
Do you have thoughts about your work in the future? Like, when you make your way back to New York, what's next? Is it writing? Do you have Lost in Space is completed? And
no. Season 3 will be going in August or early September, and I can't wait to be lost in space again. How this sci-fi genre has fit into my life is something I'm very grateful for and excited about. I can't think of a better show to be on another planet, playing a villain and talking to a robot. I love it. I love that it's family TV, and I can't write unless I'm at home. My COVID neighbor over on Kingsley, Jerry, we've gotten to be really good friends, and he's offered to drive me to New York. So I'll be road tripping and landing back. And I can't wait.
One thing I wanted your input on is Faye Dunaway said one time, and you had mentioned her an experience with her in your book, and I think we can like wrap it up on this. Faye Dunaway said, hair acts too. And I think that was in response to Roman Polanski going over to her on Mark and plucking a hair out of her scalp, which was like pulling too much focus of the backlight. And I thought it was funny, but the more I thought about it, I thought, wow, that's loaded. It really speaks to like so much about women in the business.
You know, her sensitivity, that's a weird thing for someone to pluck a hair out of your head. I've always said hair is 90% of acting. and I think shoes kind of are 90% acting too. And the relationship to one's hair is also another thing, because it frames the face and it's emotional. It can be.
The widow's peak.
I'm wearing a tight bun now, though.
Yep.
I got my tight genie bun on. I've got my magic carpet, and I'm going to keep all this sacred and be optimistic.
Good. I hope we have the pleasure of sitting next to you on an airplane.
Thank you so much.
This has been just so lovely to talk to you guys.
You've been listening to Art is a Verb, a Barrett Barrera project. If you like what you just heard, please be sure to rate, review, and share this episode on social media, via email, or by any other means.
For more information on Barrett Barrera projects and to learn about upcoming projects and exhibitions, visit barrettbarrera.com. That's BARRETTBARRERA.com.
Keep up with our podcast by subscribing for free in your favorite podcast app. Just search Art is a Verb. The Art is a Verb podcast is produced by Olu and Company and is edited by JAG and Detroit Podcasts. The music in this show is HAM by Eloise and the Savoir Faire.